I can't imagine how horrible his conditions were. This is insane. This is crazy. I mean, right next to our house. We're like 15 feet away.
He was not locked in a room. She did not restrain him in any way. She provided food. She provided shelter. She is blown away by these allegations. We think as the evidence comes out, you will see that she's not the villain she's being made out to be.
Well, there's two sides to every story, but I can tell you this story has now become international news. And it's understandable why. And there are more questions than answers. And certainly, DCF is in the hot seat this morning. A Connecticut woman is being accused of holding her stepson captive for more than 20 years. And this all started after a fire was intentionally set by the man who is saying that it was this woman who was holding him captive under horrible extreme conditions. And police are backing that up and saying there's proof in the pudding with this. And we have put calls out to Waterbury police to come on the show to talk more about this. But in the meantime, state lawmakers in the overnight hours outraged about this situation. And again, pressing the issue, where was DCF? How could this have happened? How is this even a reality here in Connecticut? So joining us now is State Senator Jason Perillo. And Senator Perillo, one of the reasons that you are especially very outraged is you sit on the Children's Committee. You're the ranking senator for the Children's Committee here. I mean, what was your initial reaction when you heard about this story?
Well, look, it's the same reaction as everyone, right? I mean, this is an absolutely terrible situation. We don't know all the facts. You know, everybody wants the facts. And I think, you know, that's why we're talking here today, is to make sure that the administration, the Department of Children and Families, the governor's office do the things they need to do to get us some answers. That's where we are right now.
So, I mean, when you look again, Senator Perillo, what's interesting about this is when you first heard about it, of course, you know, people will immediately go to, this sounds like a horror movie. This sounds like, you know, the Silence of the Lambs type of thing. Like, it just doesn't seem like a reality. But when you look at the details of this, here's why DCF is being brought up. So according to the affidavit, I mean, there's just some gruesome details on here. You know, as bad as that this man had to drink water from the toilet because he was only getting two glasses of water per day. But the big thing here, which is why DCF is sort of in the hot seat, is it sounds like this man was allegedly pulled out of school as a young child because DCF was called twice due to the victim constantly asking students for their food during lunchtime because he was being starved and or tortured at home. I'm curious, though, why that was the response. And I'm sure that's one of the many questions for DCF. Is why was the response, let's pull him from school? I mean, I can understand a disturbance and all of that, but I also feel like that would mean pulling him from the family and wondering what's going on at home, not school.
Well, right. I mean, what the administrators and teachers saw in school was directly related to their concerns regarding what was going on at home. And that's where DCF would step in. That's where DCF, and my understanding is DCF went to the home and kind of walked away saying, and look, I don't have the complete facts, walked away saying, no, it looks like things are okay. And here we are 20 years later, and we know that things were indeed not okay. Mm. And now's where we need to get some answers. And you know, what worries me at this point, it's not so much the 20 years ago, it's the here and now, because we're starting to see a trend, right? You know, we've got corruption in the governor's administration at the state pier, and, you know, nobody seems to know about it. We've got corruption at the governor's Office of Health Strategy involving the sitting head of that organization, and nobody's really talking about it. Yeah, you know, we've got staff from the governor's office misusing state vehicles, and, you know, nobody really knew about it until it was all over. We've got active problems right now in the energy regulation of the state with a situation looks like where votes may have been bought in exchange for jobs. And yeah, nobody really knew about it until it was all over. So I'm not loving this trend of the administration not paying attention, not knowing what's going on. And I worry that stuff like this will get swept under the rug. I mean, it's obviously it's all over the press, so there aren't a lot of options for DCF but to do their due diligence. But the trend we've seen from the administration is that, you know, we look the other way. And here we just can't have that.
Well, and you know, you're not wrong in saying that, Senator Perillo, because Just the CSCU situation and the sort of, you know, kind of writing off. And again, let's be clear. With CSCU, for people who don't know, there was this scathing report that was released by the comptroller back in the fall of this past year. And it showed misuse of spending and all that from the chancellor, Terrence Cheng. But that was really a systematic problem. They said that this has been going on well before Cheng was in office. But many people expected the governor to say overwhelmingly, you know, no, the consequences is you cannot remain in this role. And he sort of was like, meh, doesn't really matter. And we pressed him on that when he was on the last time. But there is this sort of, you're saying, feeling of, well, kind of hands in the air. It happens. And so a lack of oversight, it sounds like, Senator Perillo, is what you're talking about.
Yeah, is it a lack of oversight? Is
a lack
it
of consequence?
Denial? Is it apathy? I don't know. But when you've got a situation like this involving DCF that is so heinous and terrible, we have to step in as legislators to make sure the administration does their job, does their due diligence, handles the investigation, and gives us some answers, plain and simple.
The other thing, too, Senator Perillo, and of course, I don't have it in front of me, but there have been, I feel like, a lot of, especially in the last year or two, there have been a lot of instances where DCF, it's been like, wait, what happened here? How did that happen? I think there was a report, a pretty scathing report in 2024, talking about the amount of children, young children deaths in the state under state care. I believe there was a report, I want to say not even maybe last month or earlier this month, DCF missing chances to protect a preteen impregnated by a guardian. DCF, I do feel like, has been in the hot seat a lot in Connecticut in at least the last year or so. But I don't see what happens next, essentially. Like, these things are being brought up in the news, but then I don't really see a conclusion or an address again from a higher up or anything like that.
Look, you know, DCF is dealing with such a vulnerable population, our children. And DCF has been in the hot seat on these issues since I was first elected. So over 10, 15 years. But to your point, and you make a very good point, Melissa, the press brings these issues up. They come to light. There's a complaint and there's outrage. And then crickets. Nothing. And if there is something, we don't really hear about it. It just gets handled internally. So this is one of those situations where that simply cannot happen. Right? This is all hands on deck. This is, let's figure out what this is. Let's have complete transparency here and tell the public what went wrong. Mostly so it doesn't happen again.
Mm. Yeah, it really is hard to fathom. And again, this has gone beyond even just in the last few hours, national to now international news. And everybody is talking about this. And once again, Connecticut on the radar, but not for good reason. And so that's why state lawmakers are calling on not just DCF, but the governor to say we need answers. We need accountability. And we need to never allow this to ever happen again. Senator Jason Perillo, ranking senator on the Committee on Children, we thank you so much for coming on to talk about this.
Thanks, Melissa.